And we're back here in Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM. We just interviewed Max Haven, and that was about the relationship between finance, art, and creativity. Again, an interview of that depth and sophistication, thanks to Max Haven, just isn't possible on mainstream radio. And that's why we're able to bring it to you here through CFMU. And I would just bring that up because we have our fundraiser coming up next week, and you'll have opportunities to donate online. And, you know, we have the phone system, but people like online donations. And so we're making it really easy and really convenient and ways to pick up incentives, like a card that enables you to get much better deals at places people actually go to around the city. So keep that in mind, because you're going to be hearing starting Saturday on this station and on the program next Wednesday, ways to get involved, donate, help community radio, and bring programming that isn't featured in the for-profit media. And today, in our second segment of the program, we have Mosafer from McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice, the president of McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice. And he's going to give us some indications of what's happening in the upcoming Israel Apartheid Week. In fact, date-wise, when does that start?
So it's normally had on the first week of March, and this year that's March 3rd. So this is the upcoming Monday. So it's pretty soon, a few days away.
That's right. Is that going to be the same as other campuses?
Most likely. There are a few campuses who are doing in a two-week span, so they're pushing off certain events to the second week of March. But generally, it's done through the first week of March.
Okay. Now, I can't remember offhand what consecutive number Israel Apartheid Week this is here at McMaster or at other campuses in Ontario. I mean, we can look at the various activities that are coming up, but I'd have to say I think, you know, this Israel Apartheid Week is different from other Israel Apartheid Weeks, and that's because there's been a growing awareness of the issues that activists sought to bring attention to. The things such as the wall, the separation wall, or the apartheid wall, it has been termed, the presence of illegal settlements, and the fact that products are sold in Canada and Europe and other places from these illegal settlements, the devastation that's caused by the regular bombings and other interventions by Israel into territories in which it is not permitted to occupy or bomb. I mean, these are all things that are more openly discussed, and you see it discussed in Canadian magazines as well as news. So the efforts by organizers have been making a difference. I don't know if that's immediately perceptible at the campus level. You've been working on this issue for a number of years, Mosafer. So has there been any change in the way that this issue is discussed or perceived on campus?
To answer your question, I think it's been 8 years that it's happened at McMaster. Has it changed? To a degree, yes. We've managed to break through on the editorial level. We've managed to break through on a general level. We're trying to break through on a more administrative level, so to reach McMaster in general as a student body. What we've managed to do in particular this year is reach out to different kinds of groups and work together on forming a sort of movement that will try and create a positive environment for change to come about with regards to Israel Apartheid Week. So there's so many ways you can go about enforcing something on an academic institution. And so that's something that we're looking into right now, which has been quite successful, so as to speak, so far.
So wait, you're referring to administrative difficulties you might have had. What are you trying to do to make things different as far as the approach towards administration?
Well, I'm not talking in terms of organizing events. Organizing events have always been, they're always toilsome. We haven't had trouble this year, so as to, in any shape or form. What we're trying to do is we're trying to create some sort of action that students can take on campus that they can say that they're helping in a way, right? Rather than just saying we're attending events, we're getting informed, and we're up to what's happening.
I understand the motivation to do that. One of the projects we support is called the Gaza Ark. They're building a boat within Gaza to send from Gaza to engage in trade because of the blockade. So number one, raises awareness about the blockade, and number two, challenges that blockade. So there are always things people can do. We helped with the Freedom Flotilla in the past, and there's other constructive initiatives such as the Gaza Ark. So there are ways to get involved, and there is continuous progress on those issues. And of course, there has been a breakthrough editorially in terms of the letters that are being sent to the Spectator. There is a frustration with the obstinance of the pro-Israel lobby in challenging and attacking everyone, including Gwynne Dyer, who they characterize as an anti-Israel figure. And I mean, that is fairly ludicrous. Now, we should take a look at the catalog of events that are coming up. Last year, if memory serves, I mean, there were some spectacular events and they just weren't advertised in time because of the delays that are involved when you're booking all sorts of things on campus and so on and postering. So there was not too long ago a performance by Three Little Birds, and they were spectacular. They are a band that addresses these issues in Canada. They have albums that you can purchase. You know, that was amazing. There was some hip-hop artists, and they were actually discussing that subject, multimedia presentations. In the past, there's been Palestine Culture Day in the more distant past, several years ago. There's different ways for people to participate and to learn about these issues. And because there's more than one event, it means that people who can't make it because of class or whatever, surely they can at least make one of these events. So what are some of the features of the week that's coming up?
So on the Monday night, the first day, March 3rd, we're filming the film Roadmap to Apartheid. It's well known. It's won a few awards at the Toronto Film Festival. And we'll be having Ali Mullah visit from Canadian Peace Alliance to give a short presentation afterwards about the film. And what we want to project from that film is the relationship to South African apartheid and how it's so similar in so many ways. On the Wednesday night, we have our annual arts night. And this year, we have a few different things lined up. We have the Hamilton Youth Poetry Slam involved. They'll be performing a few pieces. We have Kojo Damti, who'll be performing a piece or two. And then we have one or two students from McMaster who've done spoken word and who are really well-versed with the themes that will be presented on that evening as well. So it will be fun on Wednesday as well. Thursday night, we're having a film screening of Slingshot Hip Hop. This is going to be happening in coordination with Independent Jewish Voices and the Palestinian Association House. And there'll be a short Q&A afterwards as well. So interesting lineup of events. Different.
What was that last one you said?
Slingshot Hip Hop film screening.
Okay. Because, yes, I know Independent Jewish Voices in Hamilton has also been involved in film screenings. There may be more films that people haven't seen coming up, so people should keep an eye open for that. There's actually an amazing diversity of film coming from Palestine itself or about Palestine from other countries. There's actually numerous films that people have not seen. They're not on YouTube. It might not be easy to pirate off the Internet. You have to go to the film to see it. And I know MMPJ is likely to be showing such things on IAW or in the immediate future. So there's ways to see quality film productions that you've not been exposed to at all. Now, one of the, I guess, the criticisms of Israel Apartheid Week, that every year there's a different sort of angle that's chosen by the pro-Israel lobby. And it seems this time it's that discussion of apartheid hurts people's feelings. So if you say, well, you know, Israel did this and they bombed these people and they built a wall, and you point these things out and talk about it on campus, you now have supporters of Israel saying, I feel that it creates a harmful environment to discuss these things and that it hurts my feelings. So what was your perspective on that?
I think university is a space to be able to hurt people's feelings. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory shape or form. There needs to be that space to discuss these issues. And irrespective of where you stand on the issue, you should be able to feel hurt sometimes. I know, I'm not sure which professor, but I've had a professor who's once told me that if you don't feel hurt by what I'm telling you, and if you don't have any objections to what I'm saying, then you're not here for anything useful. So in that same vein, yes, it might be hurtful to some people, but we clearly disagree with them. And we take our stand and we're going to present it in an academic environment, in an academic way.
The truth hurts is what they say. I mean, that can be the case sometimes. But it's not people's intention here to hurt, but rather to expose some truths that are unpleasant. And that's what a university is about and what a university is for. And we mustn't lose sight of that, because there's a gradual move to corporatize the university as a space for discussion. So they see students as consumers and clients. And if you're a professor who lives and dies by course evaluations and evaluations from the university, and you see students as consumers, you will develop a tendency to not want to offend these consumers. So you just want to keep them happy, give them high marks, inflate their grades, don't challenge them, don't challenge their preconceptions. And you already have examples of students behaving in that certain way. In the United States, students take courses and they hear things, they're exposed to ideas that they had not heard before that they don't like, and then they complain about it, and they complain to the university, and they write No, that's not how it works. This university is a space of ideas and discussion. And if you do not agree with an idea, you are welcome to debate that idea and describe why you believe your interpretation is right. And that debate can be an ongoing, and people can watch and participate in these discussions. It's a shame that we have to remind people about how a liberal university works. But again, when you move towards corporatization, you're moving towards dominance of finance, dominance of powerful corporations who then determine the agenda and turn it into a McDonald's Mickey Mouse operation where you pay your money to get a piece of paper and no one gets challenged along the way. We've always stood against that process occurring at the university, and McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice has been an important part of keeping discussion free and alive on the university. One of the reasons why it's still worthwhile to go to university, take part in activism, which is as important as the academic activity in which students engage. So I wanted to point out those factors because Israel Apartheid Week remains an important space for discussion. Again, can you give us the room numbers and times for the events? Because it's kind of hard to glean that sometimes, and people are – we'll give electronic information as well later on.
Sure. Monday night film screening of Roadmap to Apartheid is happening at 6 p.m., so the movie will start at 6. That is in HSC 1A6, Health Sciences 1A6. On the Wednesday night, the arts night is happening at 6 p.m. as well, in Celebration Hall, which is in Kenneth Taylor Hall in the basement. It's a lovely hall. It'll be fun. And then on the Thursday evening, we're screening Slingshot Hip Hop, and this will be in T13 127.
Do you have to pay to get in those?
As clubs, some of those rooms do cost money. Yeah, not all of them. Some of them do.
But For the students or the audience, are they going to be charged?
No, there's no charge for any of these events. They're all free entry. There might be an entry by donation for the Wednesday night, for the arts night. But other than that, everything else is free entry.
Okay, that's important information. Now, electronically, people can access information through websites and Facebook. I don't know if the MMPJ website is kept up to date.
We don't have a website currently, at least. Mm-hmm. Facebook has been updated, and we've sent out emails. So those are our main ways to keep connected with the community.
How do they find you on Facebook?
Just if you search McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice, you should be able to find them. Or if you just type in MMPJ, either or would work.
Okay. Well, I know it's been busy time for MMPJ. You've been planning Israel Apartheid Week, but you've been doing this alongside other activities. So you have been involved in the SodaStream protests. Now, Hamilton has been a center of that kind of activity. I don't know how many there have been in total so far, but MMPJ has had a presence at a number of them. How many have you been at?
Myself, I've been at none, actually.
None.
I know a lot of the other MMPJ people, as well as other activists on campus, have been to at least two of them. Yeah,
I know I've seen MMPJ members. I've been at three of them myself, and they're. Sometimes we put photos up on
yeah.
Facebook for the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War website as well. But no, certainly there has been a sea change in an opinion on a lot of these matters. I mean, the European Union recognizing the illegality of boycott products was one such development recently. But in Canada, of course, there have been those developments within the media itself where people write into important Canadian newspapers and magazines and say, you know, I'm Jewish and we're having this discussion within our family. And that is something you will see now as well in the pages of Israeli newspapers like Haaretz, many, many more critical commentaries about what Israel is doing. And many people or a number of authors are calling for people to bring on the boycott. They're saying we have these illegal settlements and they're antagonizing everyone. And you know, this boycott is going to be a natural reaction to that. And I just wish that there could be as much free public discussion about these policies in Canada as there is in Israel.
Yeah, I share the same sentiment as you. Something like BDS or a boycott movement, right? It is growing in Canada as well. Like, there are some universities, academic institutions that have taken it up. UFT's graduate students have taken it up. York University's taken it up. Concordia has. So there is a movement in Canada as well. It is slower. There are more hindrances, but it is happening. It's being talked about. It's being brought up about. I know the Silhouette, although not so well known, but the McMaster newspaper has also talked about it a little bit. So there is headway being made. It's slow. And this is something that we're also involved in right now. And this is something that we want to see happen, at least not, if not on campus, but at least in a broader shape or form.
Sounds right to me. And I appreciate the work you've done, given the other responsibilities you've had with the SodaStream related activities and with other matters, with the terrible war occurring inside Syria. Many difficulties are presented for activists on campus. So, I mean, I'm glad you could come down today and tell us about this. People need to look at their electronic sources. If you're on the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War email list, you would have got a reproduction of the posters and whatnot. You can get on that list by emailing hcsw@kojiko.ca or look on the website of Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War.ca. There's usually multiple groups involved in these things, and this is, of course, the case for Israel apartheid.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Totally sorry. Thanks for reminding me. So these set of events are happening in accordance with Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, the Young Communist League, McMaster Muslim for Peace and Justice, Independent Jewish Voices, and the Palestinian Association House, and as well Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. So there's a lot of effort going into this, a lot of variable groups as well involved.
Well, there you go. I mean, there's no excuse not to go to at least one of these events, especially since most of them are free, if not all of them. And maybe you can make up for not going last year for those of you who missed it. We'll have to bring Three Little Birds on here either to interview them or put on some of their music. They're quite good, and it's amazing mm-hmm. the talent we're sometimes able to bring down to these things. And anyway, so thanks, Mosifer. That's great that you could be here. It's always good to have people to come right down into the studio. This is a community station. It's a community program, and we deal with what's happening here at McMaster and in Hamilton and in Ontario and of course, in things on a much larger scale as well. So keep that in mind. We are looking for continued support to make these kind of things possible. This program is integrated with all sorts of activism and all sorts of events across Hamilton. Obviously, we don't get handouts from the government. We're not an NGO, a non-governmental organization, so we don't get government funding, ironically enough, as an individual program. So basically, the community is an important source of funding for CFMU. And if you participate in that, you can get a hold of some of the bonuses and incentives we offer, including the CFMU card, which enables you to get discounts at nice places around the city. We ran out of those last year. People took all of them, so we have made a new batch of them. You can get a hold of those, and you can support CFMU in many ways. You can donate by phone next week during the live programming schedule, and you can also donate online. You can find more information about that at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. In any case, I expect that there's going to be continued live programming on CFMU throughout the course of the day. We're going to be signing out, so I'm going to say that you should stay tuned next week, 5 o'clock p.m. We're going to have a special episode about Venezuela. Last week we had Netfa Freeman. We only had 15 minutes as he was in transit at the time. We hope to give him expanded time next week. So we're looking to see what we can do about bringing you special commentary on Venezuela, and we may have a very special guest as well in the later part of the program to remind us about the importance of the work that's done here at CFMU. So thanks very much for listening, and until next week, take care.